B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to the station that gets you off the bench.
Things aren't going to stop just because Brady retires.
It's part of the game. It happens.
You don't know what the real money is.
You move on. Patriots win. Go Pats.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich on the Toucher and Rich Twitter account. Rich put a video of Becky Lynch, who's the main event at WrestleMania with Boomer and Gio.
Yeah, because it's in New York, so she's up there in New York. And you know what I noticed, Fred, about this interview? She didn't bite her lip for Boomer like she did with you.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Instagram at Fred Toucher, and there's a video there. And people are like, there's no audio, because Josh Bauer sent it to me yesterday.
You don't need audio.
That's my point. It's body language. It's animal lust.
She's looking at Fred, and then at one point she does this smile, bites her lip, and it's like, Fred, you are on her. You are right in her sights.
I'll tell you what, my wife says it. So basically, I could have made out with her. All right. Okay, Rich. You have to explain this because I only know the nuts and bolts.
Okay, so speaking of WrestleMania being in New York, and everyone's out there. You've got Sarge taking pictures on top of the Empire State Building. With
which everybody does.
Wong, which, you're doing that.
Everybody does that.
Everyone's palling around having a good time. There was something that happened when Raw was here at the TD Garden the other day, which I thought was fascinating for many different reasons. But according to Scott Zolak, Sarge and Jay Stu, who have the very successful wrestling podcast here at the station, Outside the Ropes or Inside the Ropes, and they had a little scheme going where I don't know how you got contacted. That's the one thing I haven't figured out yet. But there was a way that you could, during WWE Raw, contact Sarge, and for a small fee, he would come down to your seat and take a photo with you.
Yeah, so you would be paying money to a guy who works about 4 hours a week on the radio station.
Sorry, so you could say, I like Sarge so much that I want to get a photo with him. And I thought that was fairly funny. I, from what I heard, several people took him up on this.
No way.
Bird is shaking his head. How many people have you heard actually paid to have Sarge take a picture with him?
Sarge was bragging about 10 people.
Oh, my God.
So what's that, 10 times 200 bucks?
Wait, what? He charged $200.
No, he charged 20 a pop.
Oh, okay. 20,
total so, $200.
$20 to get your picture taken with Sarge?
Correct.
That's what he said, yes.
I could at least get 75 cents. $20 to get your picture with Sarge.
Maybe later on. I want to know who these people are who took a picture with Sarge and paid $20 to have it done.
I'm guessing that they don't exist and that Sarge made that entire thing up.
I don't know. But even if one people did it, one person did it, I can speak English, that's amazing to me. So it got me thinking.
It's amazing the balls on that guy.
So, it's that confidence. Maybe he too has that Big D energy.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it with that dopey face.
Maybe that's the case. But it got me thinking, like, maybe we're missing out.
Yeah.
Maybe Sarge is the guy on the forefront. Maybe he has figured out everything. Is there something that we could be doing to make money? Like, what would you pay to do with us? Like, what would you pay money to do with each individual member of the show?
Yeah, is there any specific member of the show that you would pay to do something with?
And you can even name the thing. would it be bust some stats with Wallach? Would it be play Dungeons and Dragons with Wallach for $20?
Would it be having a woodwind concerto with Wallach?
You don't just have a woodwind concerto. I mean, you got to practice. There's stuff that needs to be done.
All right,
don't just fall right into
617-779-0985. What would you pay to do with a member of the show? And tell us specifically what it would be.
And then how much money, too? Because if Sarge is charging $10 for a photo.
$20 for a photo.
Jesus.
And there were 10 people that took him up on
okay.
it.
This is just a fact. I'm not bragging. At a Bruins game, I take probably 5 to 10 selfies with people. I got to rethink this.
Yeah.
Zolak, hello.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
It's a big big WrestleMania weekend, as you know. Two pictures have been posted in the last 24 hours of the Wong father and Sarge. And, gee, shocker. One is at the Empire State Building, and the other one is at a bar in Times Square.
Yeah, we talked about
who the biggest tourists. Like, nothing screams tourists more than, we're going to New York. Let's go to the two spots where everybody goes to and take a picture.
Yeah, we talked about the Empire State Building. Like, who's still going up there? Like,
those two.
Like, you went up
there. Andy doesn't want to do it. You know Sarge is dragging him there.
It's, like, not even that tall a building anymore.
I know. And, you know, Sarge has, like, a quarter. He's got a pocket full of quarters, and he's looking through those viewfinders.
Like, I understand when, Empire State Building was this, you know, bastion of modernity and this human accomplishment.
Right.
Now it's not even that that good.
Well, right. It did not take long for those lines to hold out, man.
We're getting some tweets coming in.
All right.
All right. Luke, go ahead.
Yeah, Fred, I'd pay to punch you, like, if I was frustrated at work and you could just sit at the end of my desk.
Okay, where? Would you punch me?
Probably your big, dumb face, but...
Okay, how much would you pay to punch me?
$200?
Nah, I'm not letting you punch me for $200.
Not enough. Now, what if it was someplace
how
other
hard?
Than the face? Yeah.
How hard would you punch me?
Well, I'm punching you hard, but I'd wear gloves, maybe? Would that... make things a little bit more palatable?
Nah, because if you, like, knocked out a tooth or broke my nose or something, then I'm out the insurance money.
That makes sense.
You gotta think anywhere else but the face and the balls.
Like, in the chest. Like, if you could punch him as hard as you could in the chest.
I'm not wild about that either.
Like, how about Nick in the chest? You could kill him, actually, for $20.
Exactly. All right, but you could punch me in the stomach for $500.
Wear one of those, like, foam suits that, like, crash test dummies wear.
Well, then that would be a pussy. I gotta take the punch like a man, you know? But I don't need that. All right. Let's go to Zach. Zach, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
So, I love all you guys. I'd love to do stuff with you, but legit, I want to make meatballs with Mark Jamelli.
Oh, you see, now that is something that maybe that dream might come true soon.
My name's Mark.
That's right.
He could have a nice little side business, unlike his son.
Is this a meatball or a marble, for God's sakes?
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Tucker and Rich, man? Man, I would pay to hang out with you guys. Rich, I want to go see Endgame with you. I think that would be amazing, man. Your movie critiques and everything are spot on. I would pay for your popcorn, your Skittles, your soda, take care of everything. I want to see Endgame with you.
Well, I do know, however, that those opening night passes are going for like $500 on eBay. I mean, this is, people are freaking out that it's going to get spoiled for them. Like, they're losing their minds. So I don't know. We'd have to figure it out. Maybe we could do something. Who knows?
All right. Rick, go ahead.
Hey, Fred. I'd actually pay about $200 just to hang out with you, drink a few beers, not to the point where we're legless, but to the point where we're all open up and just complain about everything from politics to pop culture to societal norms that bug us. I don't know. I feel like we're two peas in the same pod. You know, you like to vent about what bothers you, and I'm on the same page.
I'll drink with you for free. If you see me at a bar, I'll drink with you for free. You wouldn't be the first listener.
Someone said I'd pay $20 to regurgitate food into Wallach's mouth like a baby bird. That's something I wouldn't mind seeing.
Well, I have a different feeling about that.
James, go ahead.
Hey, Steak and Eggs, boys.
Hey.
I'd pay a lot of money to paddleboard with Fred.
You know,
named the price.
That incident in the Turks and Caicos is really bothering me.
Still?
I'll tell you why. Because when I tell people the story, they react with sympathy.
Whoa.
Like, it's not something that they laugh at.
Yeah, it really was something horrible.
Even Age was kind of like a disappointed father.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Fred.
Like, there was a sales guy in the box at the Bruins game last weekend, and he was like, dude, that paddleboard story.
You okay?
He's like, that sucks.
You all right, man?
All right, let's go to Monty. Monty, hello.
I would literally pay anything if I could go on a flight with John Wallach on his eagle wing. Please. Take me high in the sky, John Wallach.
Like a young Icarus.
Well, maybe not the best example, but well, yeah.
Listen. Don't go too close to the sun. All right. Well, listen, we can do that again sometime.
I will read you quickly some of the ones that we have on Twitter. $200. I want to do Ambien with Fred. That would be one.
I had to tell my doctor not to give it to me anymore. It's in my notes.
How about I would pay money for Wallach to stop stepping on jokes every single day.
Well, good luck.
He
gets paid money here and he still does it.
That's from Fred, actually. He tweeted that. He goes, I'd pay $25 to hear Rich say he's wrong about the Kraft case. Somebody said, I would pay Wallach $25 to do the curly shuffle with me. Name the time and place. There's a lot of people who want to pay you to stop cutting off conversations, Wallach.
I know. I've seen all of it. You're not the only one getting those. Trust me. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, that's a thank you.
I would pay $1,000 to spend the weekend in Vermont with Fred. Your favorite place.
Now, one guy has a really good suggestion that I've considered asking you doing. I'd pay $20 to have Rich leave his voicemail on my phone in his wizard voice.
Oh,
I'd do that.
People are very fond of that.
I'd pay $1,000. I'd pay $100 to do bong hits with Rich. I'll bring the goods. That's our good friend Pabs from Everett too.
I would do $100. I'd pay $100 to do bong rips with you.
Let's do it. Sooner or later, we'll all do it together.
Come over. It's on Saturday night. I got people coming over for the Michigan State game. All right. We'll talk to Greg Bedard, and he's got a lot of interesting things to say about the Patriots. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Tucker and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get it right, get it down, get it right now. Right now. Play by the bank, get it right now.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich. Greg Bedard is the editor and columnist at BostonSportsJournal.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Bedard, hello.
Morning, fellas.
Rich has read your most recent article, and we both tend to agree with you because this is just the way things go.
Because the Patriots always somehow, when you look at the beginning of the season and you go, hey, this doesn't look very good.
And they'll go 1-3 at the start of the season. They'll end up finishing.
And they'll win a Super Bowl. Right, right. So just real quick, talk people off the ledge, because you seem to believe that despite this really kind of scary looking barren offense, that they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as this year's team goes, I understand why people are panicking, but, you know, if a few things fall into place, you know, and we've sort of had these discussions for the past couple of years where we get at some point in the off season or before the season, and everybody's like, well, you know, people are gathering their coats, people are doing this, and then, you know, it doesn't end up that way. I mean, look, you know, Gronk retired. It's obviously a big blow. Especially the way that he finished the year, and you thought that they would come to some sort of agreement where, you know, he wouldn't have to practice that much, so that, you know, they could save him till the end of the season, basically for the postseason, that type of thing. It didn't happen. I mean, you know, look, you know, they still have Julian Edelman. By now, I think we can all assume that they're putting some more eggs in the Josh Gordon basket. I mean, I don't recommend that, but at least they have some sort of history with the player now. You know, they must feel that the chances are good that he comes back. So, you know, you have Gordon, you have Edelman, you have Dorsett back in the fold. You know,
nothing you're saying is making me feel more confident.
Yeah. When does it get good?
Is it going to be great on paper or, you know, anything like that? No, but I mean, look, if the Patriots go into the draft and say they trade up and they get TJ Hawkinson, the tight end from Iowa, who is the most, you know, ready Gronk sort of can catch it, can block it, can do it all.
They'd have to give up a lot though, right? Because he might go in the top five.
I don't think he's going in the top five. I mean, I know, like, Daniel Jeremiah has him as, like, the fifth-ranked player for him. Right. That's different on where a tight end is drafted. I mean, you know, they might have to trade up. They have the capital. You get a guy like Andy Isabella out of UMass, who is sort of like, you know, either at the end of the first, early second, maybe you have to trade up again. He's like Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, like, you know, 3.0. I mean, he's, yes.
Of course he is.
But this guy flies. I mean, where those guys were in college, Andy Isabella from UMass is way ahead of those guys. You get a guy like that and go along with Gordon and Edelman and James White, and I'm sure Sony Michel is going to be used more in the pass game this year. All of a sudden things look better. And, you know, I know a lot of people are like, well, Trent Brown's gone. You know, if Isaiah Wynn was healthy last year, nobody might not even know the name Trent Brown. You know, so they drafted, and Skarnecchia went out there and worked him out and everything and recommended that they draft Isaiah Wynn in the first round. There's a reason for that. So all of a sudden, a couple things happen. You know, maybe they pick up a Seth Roberts who was just waived by the Raiders. This is a guy who is capable of a lot more things and a better offense and with a better quarterback. And, you know, maybe they think about if they don't go the T.J. Hockenson route, they trade for like a Kyle Rudolph from Minnesota for like a year, sort of a stopgap guy at tight end. You know, things are not as bad as they seem. And they're returning basically the whole defense other than Trey Flowers, and they got Michael Bennett to replace him. I mean, I just don't, you know, we can go on and on about the coaches, but, you know, I don't think that's as significant as other people do. But I think personnel-wise, I don't think they're that far away, and they will get there at some point.
Okay, you keep mentioning Josh Gordon. What is his status in the NFL? I know that he had the suspension, and then there was questions about whether he would ever be able to come back. And on top of that, like, what is the team doing to make sure he doesn't do what he did last year, where he shows up, everything seems to be going well, and then boom, unfortunately, he slips backwards?
I mean, the short answer is I don't know, and they don't know. I mean, you know, they can't really, you know, have a whole lot of contact with him. You know, he's in the program. He's doing his own thing. He's suspended. I mean, it's not like you can hold his hand right now.
But what is the status? I mean, as far as the NFL, like, what are the chances that he'll even be able to come back this year?
I think they're pretty good. Okay. I mean, as long as he does the right things. I mean, you see the NFL is relaxing some of you know, there's a lot of discussions with the union about, you know, whether marijuana and things like that are even going to be penalized going forward. So I think they're, you know, and there are other guys like, you know, Randy Gregory with the Cowboys is basically the defensive version of Josh Gordon at this point. And there's a lot of talk about him being able to come back. I mean, even I think Dallas even just redid his contract.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of hope in Dallas and in New England that guys like this are going to be handled a little bit more differently, and they are going to be back. And after what he did last year, I mean, you know, I didn't think he was any great shakes, but the guy had, I think, the second best yards per catch ever for a Patriot, and that's not something to sniff at.
Yeah. Okay, so, Greg, one of the reasons that I agree with you about what you think about the Patriots is that we had Burt Breer on, and this has become something that's fascinated me, and I've talked about it with friends. So I've had one conversation, but we were talking about like indispensable players, like players that if you lost them, your season's over. And we could think of very few that weren't quarterbacks. And if you look at the Super Bowl winners, you know, that's not like a who's who of like diva receivers. And like, basically it's like offensive line and defensive line. But is that part of your thinking, or do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, I would, especially with this Patriots team. I mean, right. I think it's almost by design. I mean, that's why, I mean, part of it is by design. Part of it is just they drafted bad for a while, so they had no other choice other than to get a bunch of these guys who are like $1 to $2 million range and have eaten up the cap and gotten them into trouble, you know, that way. But, I mean, you know, you look at this team. I mean, if they would have lost Trey Flowers down the stretch last year, does anybody think they don't win the Super Bowl?
No.
I mean, right, yeah. I mean, Trey Flowers, I love Trey Flowers. Great player. Glad he got paid. But, you know, they would have figured out a way to work it with John Simon and Dietrich Wise or whatever to make it work, and they still would have won games.
All right. So, speaking of Tom Brady, you wrote something the other day about how you don't believe that people in the Patriots organization are 100% sold that Brady is going to stick around after this year. You mentioned that it was contingent a lot on whether or not he wins a Super Bowl. On top of that, Will Brinson was on the other day, and he was speculating that maybe the Patriots take a look at somebody like Marcus Mariota when he becomes a free agent, and possibly that is their backup plan. What do you think is going to happen at the quarterback position, especially along the lines of what you said, that maybe, just maybe, Brady might call it quits after this year if they win a Super Bowl?
Well, Rich, the short answer is, you know, people in the building don't even know what's happening with Tom Brady, what's going to happen. I mean, you know, what I wrote the other day, and it was connected to, you know, they have like $85 million in cap space next year. And yeah. I'm like, and that never happens with the Patriots. They always, you know, plan down the line. They make sure their ducks are lined up. They never get this big of a chunk of change. And some of it's going to evaporate with whatever they do with Brady. They give the annoying extension, that sort of thing. But, you know, they have this chunk of change. And, you know, I was talking to somebody in the organization, and they brought up Brady without me bringing him up. And it made me say, like, what? They said, you know, we're not even sure whether Tom's going to be back if we win a Super Bowl this year. And, you know, their thinking is, you know, this would be, what, 4 and 6 years for him, would trump the 3 and 4, the Patriots would break the Steelers franchise record, Brady would have more than Jordan, he would be too clear of any other player in terms of Super Bowl titles, that would never be broken. I mean, how much more would he have to accomplish? And, you know, you just look at the way things are lined up with, like, their cap. There is nothing doing on his contract front. Now, you know, some people think they can do his contract right now. I was under that impression. The person I talked to, you know, with the team said that they were under the impression they couldn't do anything till August. So all that's getting put off. But what if they don't give him a contract extension? What if Bill Belichick looks at last year and sees, you know, Brady's stats basically went down. Some of it had to do with his lack of targets and things like that. But still, he did not play as well last year, or even close to what he did when he was an MVP in 2017. Does Belichick look at that and be like, you know, it's almost like we're taking it for granted? I mean, the guy is going to be 43. You know, is that next year or 2 years from now? But he's getting up there. I mean, we can't take for granted that Brady's just going to return and be Tom Brady every year. And especially if you're Bill Belichick, do you give him a contract extension now? And what if he does walk away after winning the Super Bowl title? I mean, the smart thing might just to use the franchise tag on him, which would be less than his cap number for this year.
All right, Greg Bedard, interesting stuff. Editor and columnist at bostonsportsjournal.com. We always appreciate the time.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, man. You got to give him an extension. You got to give an extension and get somebody to learn underneath him.
I understand that. And the question is, are the Patriots actually going to draft a quarterback this year? I mean, they have a 1, 2, 2s and 3, 3s. There's plenty of wiggle room here to move up and down in the first round if you really want one, if there's one that actually falls to you. And
I take that tight end from Iowa.
Well, yeah.
And I think that you have to jump.
I saw a mock draft that had him 10th. I haven't seen him go any higher than that.
Fair enough. But, I mean, you're going to have to.
No, you're going to have to move up at least 10 spots to get him. Yeah. Sure you are.
Well, I would say more, but it depends on. Because there's not a ton of elite players in this draft.
And by the way, on Andy Isabella, I've read the same thing. Greg is the latest to say that this kid is a rocket. He is great. But for some reason, man, the people they draft, other than Malcolm Mitchell, don't make impacts. If you're a wide receiver.
If he went to UMass, how good could he be? All right, so here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and I have seen a debate going on when I check into my burner account that no one will ever find. I've never tweeted. And it is protected. There is no face on it. It is a name that no one would know.
Sam Darnold rules.
God, why'd you have to blow
it? Smart, that's what you'd do.
Well, oh boy, I was at a bar the other night and I started going off about how Sam Darnold's going to be the best quarterback that comes out of every draft until the Clemson kid comes out. Not fans of it, people. Not fans of that.
Did you see yesterday the Jets making the big deal out of their uniform reveal?
Yeah, it's awesome.
There was a lot of uniform Twitter yesterday.
Those new uniforms, do you?
I can honestly tell you without acting like a cool guy.
You don't care.
I
absolutely don't care.
It's like, why are people like freaking out over this one way or the other?
It was Instagram to me, and I didn't even bother like enlarging the photo.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, and they've been teasing this for, you know, months.
Man, their social media people, when they developed all these hashtags, are you excited about the big jersey reveal and what the uniforms? Oh, yeah. And I briefly saw a photo of it, and I'm like, why anyone, one way or the other, has any kind of opinion or gives a rat's ass about this? I couldn't understand.
And I saw that they had Jamal at, because they're like sitting where you can't see their numbers, but they had, I saw that they had Sam Darnold and Jamal Adams, and I didn't even know who the other two guys were. Because you can't see their numbers. I have no idea who they are.
Player to be named later.
Leonard Williams. And then there was two guys that I have no idea who they are.
They didn't invite Robbie Anderson? That's too bad.
They might have. I didn't see someone who was 6'2", 90 pounds, though.
I'll tell you what's funny, though, is that, I mean, when you look at, because obviously the Jets, they got a lot of crap yesterday for making a big deal out of nothing, and that's because people are saying, oh, it's because this is the Jets' way. It seems very, very small potatoes, blah, blah, blah. However, would you rather be the Jets right now, where it looks like you have this young quarterback who's somewhat exciting, or would you rather be in the position that the Packers are in right now? Because now things are getting interesting.
Well, that article about McCarthy and Rodgers is just phenomenal.
It's great. And I know that 2 years ago, boy, it's been 2 years, that thing came out about the Patriots. No, I guess it was right before last year's Super Bowl. Yeah, so I guess it was the beginning of last year. And everyone thought it was the end. And I have to be honest, you read what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, that seems a lot worse than what was going on with the Patriots. And that was pretty bad. But this is like, and it's just confirming what everyone seems to have kind of known for the last few years, and that is that Aaron Rodgers is a dick. And Mike McCarthy, people are saying all this stuff about him not knowing what's going on, skipping meetings and getting massages.
He was, if you don't know, so McCarthy was legitimately not showing up to Saturday meetings because he would go up the back stairs and get massages. And I hope every stupid Jets reporter and Joe Beningo reads this and realizes that perhaps not hiring Mike McCarthy was a pretty good move by the team.
Well, it does explain that. Because remember when he ended up being fired, I was like, well, obviously there's going to be a bidding war for this guy. I mean, he's worked with Aaron Rodgers. He's, you know, won a Super Bowl winning coach. I mean, people lose their minds. And the fact that nobody went after him must mean that all of this stuff we read in the article was well known within most of the NFL circles. So the whole thing starts that the two of them started off on the wrong foot 13 years ago. And that was because when Aaron Rodgers, you remember that famous video of him sitting there looking pissed that he kept falling in the draft, waiting for his phone to ring. Well, that was because at the time, Mike McCarthy worked with the 49ers, who were the number one draft pick. And he thought that Mike McCarthy was more than likely going to draft Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers is sitting there thinking, I might just go first. How about this? But it was Mike McCarthy who passed him up for Alex Smith. And when McCarthy went to the Packers, Aaron Rodgers never forgot that.
Yeah, which is really healthy and really makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
So, I mean, you know, Tom Brady should be mad at the Patriots for waiting until the sixth round to draft them. I mean, it makes no sense.
So,
what an immature prick that you can't get over that someone thought Alex Smith coming out of college was better than you. I mean, give me a break. You're better than Alex Smith by a lot.
So in this article, it says one person who is close to Rodgers remembers that he would regularly call to vent that McCarthy didn't have a clue what he was doing. He'd tell him that McCarthy frequently called the wrong play, that he used the wrong personnel, that they were running plays that worked 1 out of 50 times in practice, that McCarthy was a buffoon and was constantly bailing, that he was constantly bailing out. Quote, Mike has a low football IQ, and that used to always bother Aaron. He'd say Mike has one of the lowest IQs, if not the lowest IQ of any coach he's ever had. Adds a personnel man who worked for the Packers at the time. He said he's not going to respect you if he thinks he's smarter than you. And then that's when they were talking about. They said about once a week a meeting would start up and McCarthy was MIA. The players weren't quite sure where he was. While, for example, an assistant would run the team's final prep on Saturday before a game. Eventually, the word leaked that McCarthy, the one calling plays on game day, was up in his office getting massaged during those meetings. One player had the same massage therapist, and she let it slip that McCarthy would sneak up her back stairway to his office while the rest of the team prepared for that week's opponent. Quote, that was when guys were like, what the hell? Everyone was like, really? Wow. Rodgers in particular was not thrilled. Now, the one thing you can say about Aaron Rodgers is that he's one of these dudes who's obsessed with preparation. He's kind of got that thing that everyone says Peyton Manning had, Tom Brady has. I guess to play at his level, you kind of have to be that way. And it pissed off Aaron Rodgers that he was putting in all this work and Mike McCarthy couldn't even show up for the team meeting. So that part of it makes him look like a jackass. However, there's other parts of it where Aaron Rodgers would make players have to choose sides. Are you on Team McCarthy or you're on Team Aaron Rodgers? As a matter of fact, McCarthy used to throw in these plays all the time, and Aaron Rodgers would be like, there's no way in hell I'm calling that play, and he would call something different. And one of the players, I forget which one it was, went and ran the route that Aaron Rodgers told him to run.
It was like a young receiver, and that, okay, so the gist of that is the young receivers were torn between whether listening to McCarthy or listening to Rodgers.
St. Brown, that's who it was.
Yeah, and he was like a rookie.
That's a real tough spot to be put in.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's a really, really tough spot to be put in.
Here's why it's tough, is because he goes out there, the play doesn't happen. McCarthy rips him a new one on the sidelines, and he goes, why the hell were you running exactly the opposite of where I told you to run? And he, because he didn't want to make enemies with Aaron Rodgers throwing the bus, he said, well, I'm sorry, I was improvising on that play.
Yeah, and then McCarthy knew what he was talking about.
And like, yeah, okay. In that point, he's like, Aaron Rodgers probably called a different play, didn't he? So that happened
genius,
all the time.
By the way, by the receiver, because you step out of the way of that train. That, seriously, you genius. Either get bitched out, you either get bitched out by your franchise quarterback who will never throw you the football again, well, or you get bitched out by your boss who will never play you again.
That's the thing, is that they were afraid if you... You know, if you didn't do what he said, that he wouldn't throw you the ball anymore. All right, we will be back in just a moment. Rich has caused a lot of controversy with his take that Allison Chains is better than Nirvana. People are very upset about it.
Boy, the jammins, the jammers. What are they called?
I don't know.
The Pearls of Wisdom.
Grateful Dead fans. that won't see Dead in Company. All right.
The best is someone said, Pearl Jam's got 12 million weekly listeners on Spotify. Alice in Chains has 5. Did I say Black Eyed Peas has 20 million?
Yeah.
All right, so if you want to talk to me about quality of music equaling the amount of listeners, then let's just pull up what Justin Bieber's got.
Yeah, there's no question about that. All right, we'll be right back.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
This is the best song from Allison Chains. There's no question it's the best song. Even though it's not even on their best album, which is Dirt, front to back, their best album.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. By the way, real quickly, if you've never watched the FXX show, You're the Worst, an exceptionally dark comedy, the last episode of the series was on last night and was phenomenal. So, you saw it, Bird? Oh, yeah, you got to see it. It's phenomenal, and it's very tricky. It's hard to figure out until the end, but get on that. I can't believe that was never nominated for an Emmy. So Modern Family can keep doing it with their wacky hijinks.
You know what show I tried the other day? Because I had, A, heard it was shockingly good. B, it's filmed here in town.
The Goldbergs?
And C, there was some controversy around it, so I kind of wanted to see what was happening. Was Smilf.
Oof.
And I got 20 minutes into it, saw Rosie O'Donnell and said, nope,
yeah,
and turned it off.
That got canceled.
Well, you know why I got canceled? So I guess the star, her name is Frankie Shaw. According to reports, there were people on the set, because she not only stars in it, but she writes it and she directs a lot of the episodes, that there were a lot of people complaining that she was doing things like letting a bunch of people in on the set when there were sex scenes being filmed and being kind of inappropriate with some of the, so, I mean, there was like multiple complaints. And so they're just like, all right, we're not going to do this anymore. So they canceled the show.
Weren't they one of the strange shows that films around here?
Yeah, as I said, it's filmed all over Boston. Like, I mean,
I thought it was filmed in Dorchester, though.
Well, I mean, it's about, I think she's from here, but it's about like her being like a Southie mom.
Okay.
And being a single mom.
Because how novel to start.
To film here? Yeah. Yes. Everyone is doing that.
Very novel idea. All right. So few people get upset. I mean, you can come up with theories that Jerry Garcia is the Zodiac killer and half the people will believe you. And I don't know if they're not wrong. But one thing you can't do is get in the heads of the Jam fans.
If you insult the Jam, then unfortunately there is a brand new group of people who are just all in. They're the new Springsteen. They're the new Springsteen.
Well, it's like if Springsteen's not touring, the baseball writers go see the Jam.
They're like the Young Bucks Springsteen people.
Yeah. Like Felger's there, like taking his shirt off and with that totally ripped dude that was an Olympic swimmer.
Right. This isn't the older level of the Lodge. This is like...
Yeah, this is the Young Bucks, like Felger, just like getting in there. Yeah! Dude, they didn't even flow tonight.
Just drove in from the Q's. I went and go met some of my old frat bros over at the Q's. We came driving down here for the Jam.
They could play Syracuse 55 nights in a row.
Do you think if you played Pearl Jam outside of that stats convention that they have in Boston every year?
MIT.
The Sloan Analytics Conference. They would just all come wandering out like the Pied Piper and just start awkwardly dancing with their shirt off.
Are there bands that you would see? Like Jaffe is another example. Like, Jaffe doesn't know anything about music. What the hell does Jaffe know? He sits there and thinks about murderers. But, like he sees them multiple times.
I like Pearl Jam.
In a row.
Like, I like them. And you know what? They put on a good live show.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, the best, though, and you would like this, there's a little Paul Stanley on them. It's like whenever Eddie Vedder is in Fenway Park, he has to make sure that he lets you know that he loves baseball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was hanging out backstage with a little man by the name of Kevin Youkilis.
Oh, wow. No. Really?
He looks at the crowd like, what do you think about that? At one point, he said, I really want to send a shout out to the Hawaiian Little League team winning the championship. It's about time they got recognized. Like, yes, it is about time. Thank you for doing that.
Forever they've been under a cloak of anonymity.
Like, he does all this stuff like, you know, it's almost like that. I heard Boston loves to party, except even worse. It's like, you know, it's always good coming back here every year. Hopefully I'll be back here in October.
Oh,
you know what happens in October.
Yeah, Theo Epstein throws up all over a dynasty.
I mean, he always plugs his friends with Theo Epstein.
Which is like the worst. Theo Epstein's like a math nerd.
He's going to the Hall of Fame, Fred.
Yeah, not for doing anything cool. And by the way, the way he's handled the Cubs, he is not overly popular right now in Chicago.
Not right now.
There's talk of firing.
There's a chance for a bounce back year this year, man, after they get out of their own way.
That guy will never buy a drink in Chicago. I don't care. Even if he gets fired, he will never have to buy a drink.
There are a small minority of Cubs fans that are calling for him to be fired.
Of course. Of course, because they won and they won it every year.
No, they won, and the players that he's invested in are underperforming.
Well, according to you, Cubs fans don't pay attention anyway, right?
They have since the championship.
Okay.
They were going to trade Bryant in the offseason. But nonetheless, now, would you see the Jam twice in a row?
No, not twice in a row. I saw them last time they were at Fenway. Okay. And they put on a good show, and even songs of theirs that I hate. I hate Last Kiss. I think that's an awful cover. And I hate Proud Mary. Like, I think that song, maybe it's because we worked at a place that played that every hour.
I like
Proud Mary, Crazy Mary.
I like two of their songs. I like the one on the singles soundtrack, and I like Spin the Black Circle.
Both songs in the single soundtrack are phenomenal songs. I mean, they're both, in my opinion, probably my two favorite Pearl Jam songs. I think 10's a great album, despite we've heard it a million times. Versus is a really good album. Vitalogy kind of lost me a little bit. Just sounded like they were stringing together riffs that didn't quite fit. There's a couple good songs. And then you know what? Some of their later stuff's pretty good. So I don't have a problem with the band. As a matter of fact, I think they're a pretty good band. But man, there is some idol worship stuff going on. Like, I just this morning, but just briefly said, you know, Alice in Chains, I think, is the best band of the group. And all of a sudden, the Jammonites came out.
Is that what they're called?
The Jammonites.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I mean, Alice in Chains and Soundgarden are vastly superior.
True, the afternoon show's loaded up.
I know Jimmy Stewart, Michael Felger, big Pearl Jam fans.
Yeah. Eddie, even flow. The cuts bleed evenly.
And everyone's like, Pearl Jam can sell out Fenway Park two nights in a row. Like, what can Alice in Chains do? And I'm like, Lance Daly's dead.
Yeah, they lost their co-lead singer.
I mean, the new guy's really good, but Lance Daly's dead. And you know who else could probably sell out Fenway like eight nights in a row? That would be Pitbull.
Yeah. Dude, Pitbull Kenny Chesney sucks. plays the stupid Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, but Kenny Chesney's kind of like the...
Kenny Chesney does a five-minute Corona commercial in the middle of his set. It's the most flagrantly money grab. My friend took his wife, his ex-wife, because she's a dummy with no taste, and took her to Kenny Chesney. He bought the stupid tickets for Ford Field where the sight lines suck. And he's sitting there, and he's like, all right, fine, I'll get through this show. There's two big bottles of Corona on the side of the stage. Fine, it doesn't really interrupt the show. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of a show that you paid for, he's in a effing football stadium. It's not like the stage set is like, you know, Van Halen's 84 tour. I mean, this is like a stage set with like a palm tree on it. And then, so he's got all that money and that shoeless, crazy Buffett dude turns around and plays a like five-minute Corona commercial in the middle. Can you imagine paying money and selling out a stadium and having the audacity to show a five-minute Corona commercial?
It's jarring. I've been to a concert that did that. I had to cover the American Idol thing when that happened, and that tour that went on when I was at a different station. I went there, and right after one of the artists was on stage, a giant commercial for Ovaltine came on.
I mean,
Ovaltine! And I'm like, whoa! This is not... This ain't the Rolling Stones.
I mean, what do you think? It's like... Good tickets to Kenny Chesney are like, what, $175 face? And so, or more? So you go there, and so he's making what? What do you think he makes if he plays Ford Field? It's like Gillette.
$2 million?
Okay. So he's got $2 million in his pocket. $1.5 million once he pays the crew and does all that. And for the buses. And then, on top of that, he's got to show you a commercial? I mean, the audacity of doing that is fascinating to me. And the whole vibe is like, I'm just a crazy Buffett ripoff with my cowboy hat.
Fred, just real quick, if you took $175 as the average ticket price, because it'd be higher prices.
Yeah.
And on average, you know, for the stage setup, you have 45,000 people. That's $7.8 million.
Oh, well, I was a little bit most kind of far off.
One show.
Because I know bands sometimes don't make a lot of money because they've invested so much in their stage show, and then they get all like uppity and can't stand each other, so they take separate buses and stuff, and they have so much gear that they got to haul. That ain't a Kenny Chesney show, my friends.
Which bands have the most sensitive fan base? Because Pearl Jam's up there. And I like them.
I know a guy who has a tattoo of Jerry Garcia holding the severed head of Trey Anastasio from Fish.
What? Like Medusa's head in Clash of the Titans?
I have, and he's riding like a panther or something.
That's a great tattoo.
Except that Jerry Garcia also should, well, further evidence he's the Zodiac Killer. But it's him riding like some animal, Jerry Garcia with the severed head of Trey Anastasio. The most sensitive fan?
Springsteen.
Yeah.
If you don't like Bruce Springsteen and someone likes Bruce Springsteen, they'll let you know.
I don't understand Bruce Springsteen. To my ears, I don't understand.
It's one of those artists that you either get or you don't. Like The Dead or Jimmy Buffett or Bob Dylan. You either get them or you don't. There's no middle ground. How many times have you said, kind of like
I've got a rag in the pocket of my stonewashed Levi's.
That's Born in the USA,
at the
man.
Refinery.
That's right. Working on the highway is a cut from Born in the USA.
Like, I don't like one of his songs.
What's that?
I don't like one of his songs.
As I said, you either enjoy him or you don't.
You even like I'm on Fire? That's a good song.
How's it go?
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? That's an all right song.
All right, well, listen.
It's not a great song, but I mean, it's not... Tough to hate.
It's not poison to your ears. All right, so that's high compliments. All right, here are the headlines. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.